I feared my heart would beat in secrecy.
Megan, wait for it. It's about to rock.
Okay.
Here we go. Hold on. Okay. It's... Oh. Paradise. We're knocking on heaven's door. Almost paradise. Almost paradise on this YouTube video we're watching is in all caps.
Almost paradise. In your
eyes, paradise. Oh, I should have. Sorry,
I bet there was a karaoke night going on. Like, what if we went into the karaoke night and we were like, what? You don't have paradise?
We're like, don't worry, we know it. We'll do it a cappella.
Acapella. Rockapella style.
Do it a cappella.
Oh, I miss Carmen San Diego.
Welcome to
After the Rose, Molly Leach's and Megan Cruz's third person podcast.
Yeah. We had a bumpy fucking start, but yeah, here we are.
I think we're
in paradise.
I mean, we are committed. I've made a commitment to you in my heart.
Yeah, we had a serious conversation, like, it was like when Mitt Romney's family got together and they were like, look, Dad, is God telling you to run again for a second time?
Or it was also like when Nick Vial's family got together and they were like, are you sure, Nick? Are you sure you want to run again?
And in both cases, we,
No, we did. We had such a...
Full-heartedly
we had such
said,
a
yes.
really earnest conversation where I remember you kind of... You toned around a little bit. You were like, so you want to be done now, or what are you thinking? Like, you want to do Bachelor? You want to do it all? And I want to do it all. I want to do it all with you.
Everything. You want to like go on a helicopter ride with me and
wear a sumo outfit.
Surprise concert.
I wish there was a surprise concert. We did once go to that secret wrestling event.
I mean, I knew about it. Like, I got you the invite to it. My friends in Seattle, they do an underground wrestling, and, like, that
it was the butchest thing I've ever done in my life. Really.
My friend Will, like, you guys should know that, like, theatrical wrestling is pretty homoerotic, and they were chanting, fuck that ref. Fuck that ref. But Will tried to get the chant going, fuck that ass. Fuck that ass. And it was like,
it was the three of us, and we were like...
We were the only people there, like, enjoying it ironically, in a way, let's say. Like, people were looking at us like, it was like that scene in Bruno at the end, like, the Borat movies, where, like, they, you know, do, like, the gay thing at the straight pride rally, like, I don't know. They're not homophobic, my friends that do the underground wrestling, but fuck that ass was not necessarily a welcome chant.
Not when they were in the serious performance mode.
Yeah, no, they meant it.
Well, but anyway, we're back.
This is a podcast about Bachelor in Paradise, the Bachelorette spinoff show.
And really, I mean, it's about so much more, but that is the lens through which we see the world.
It's lower budget. It's trashier.
It is not one taking... of my greatest passions now that we've gotten started. I spend such a large amount of time engaging with Bachelor-related media during the week. I have made a commitment that over the next week, I'm going to read from start to finish The Perfect Letter, and that I will give you my book review in our next episode.
And we're looking forward to that. And holy fuck, people. If you guys, I mean, like, were you as overwhelmed as we were when we discovered that this is a Sunday and Monday night event for...
Oh my God.
And, like, the internet is not clear on how long we're doing this. Like, we're imagining that it's going to be 8 episodes, like, just a month straight through, and then it'll be over, but, like...
It's really hard to figure out. And, you know, as two passionate people podcasting, it is difficult to figure out how to handle that amount of content. And, you know, should we be trying to do this every episode, every week? It is, if you watch, the bare minimum is 3 hours of content a week.
Yeah.
And then they've started doing their own, what is it called?
It's called Dead to Me Show Mom.com. I don't know. I'm Mom, so angry.
Mom, you keep covering your face in agony, which muffles you for the...
I don't... What is the show called? After Paradise?
After Paradise, yeah. It's,
Sounds pretty familiar to After the Rose, although we did take that from there.
I like to think that we're going to have a lawsuit later. But, yeah, After Paradise is essentially a talking heads, like... It's just talking about the show, but they're taking... I mean...
Have you seen any of it? I haven't.
Yeah, no. I saw most of the first one, and it is agonizing because... you know, you can't have the same people... It becomes too meta. You can't have the same people who are doing it talking about it. You know, it's like if...
Yeah, like,
you and I are... It's like a lesbian processing session where you do something and then you talk about it, like, so intensely that...
This is borderline meta, but if, like, I was Caitlyn, like, it would be...
If you're Caitlyn, you're like, I'm gonna go over to my friend's house in Seattle.
Also,
Molly... And just to give you the fashion update, this is a day when Molly and I are both wearing sweatpants. I feel like we're a little scruffy. This is...
Yeah, like, Megan opened the door and she's like, I wore my pajamas, and, like, she's at home, okay? So, like, that's reasonable, but I walk in and I'm like, me too! But once again,
just so you know, no that everyone's comfortable here.
It rained for the first time in Seattle. We've had a drought as much as, you know, the rest of the West Coast. There hasn't been a lot of rain in Seattle, and it rained all day long. My dogs, walking dogs, they didn't mind. I minded.
Oh God, I forget that you have to do that when it's raining.
Yeah, well,
sounds terrible.
You know,
I babysat today, and I think it felt like there was a carbon monoxide leak in the house. Like, we all just fell asleep. I woke up with 5-year-old drool all over my shirt, and then I answered the door to you, and now here we are.
Oh, so yeah.
So we're going to start, we've got we have so much content. We have 4 nights of Bachelor content over.
Yeah.
Episode 1A, episode 1B, episode 2A and 2B.
That's how we've delineated it in our notes, hopefully. Jesus.
So what do you think, just to kind of get back into it, how are you feeling about the season so far? Bachelor in Paradise 2.
Non-stop action, drama, crying, deception, romance, intrigue. I'm pleased. I mean, yeah, so far I'm into it. I like a lot of the cast. I don't know.
If by cast you mean everyday people looking to find love, then I understand.
They call them cast, I mean.
Know. Yeah. I know.
Sorry to break the fourth wall.
Should we do a real quick rundown of who all's there to start out with, or?
So some of our principal favorites, we've talked about this. Crazy Ashley Ash is here. And she's,
I really like her.
I like her, too, and she's proving to be kind of, like, a normal, sane, smart person, I think, comparatively.
Yeah.
And might as well just say right now, since nothing much happens with her, she's hooked up with, Dan from Desiree season. So she's, like, one of these, a couple of them, like, will immediately couple. Maybe really quick we should go over the rules of the show.
Okay, which is, yeah, please.
It's sort of like, it's like an elaborate game of musical chairs. Like, there's a roughly even number of men and women, and every week, either the women have control or the men have control. This, so for the first week, the men had the roses. So they have, every man there has a rose, and then there's, like, 1 to 3 less women, like, than men. Or more. So, like, it's sort of like musical chairs, where, like, everybody gets a rose, and then there's, for the first week, there was one person left on the chopping block. So, like, you have to do your politicking and manipulating to make sure that you get a rose that week. And then it flips, like, the next week.
Yeah, musical chairs, where it's like, okay, we have the women in control this week, and then the men in control the next week. And each week, when someone is eliminated, there's a vying for... you know, there's a vying to have, quote-unquote, made a connection with someone. Mm-hmm. But if you're holding out for someone else, or you just don't want to be gone, it's like you fabricate a connection.
Yeah, you
so
really
there's an extra
to...
level of deceit. Like, it's really terrifying about the human condition, if you think about it. But
The line, like, I don't know if you're here for the right reasons, is up, like, 300%. It's like, no shit. Like, oh my god, what are the right reasons? If you do any amount of politicking to get a rose, it's like, hey, you're not here to find true love. Like, I'm on spring break. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so the first, I mean, we've got...
So Ashley S., we got Jade.
And the men are in control the first time around, right? On the very first?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We got Jade, who is the...
Which is... Why should that be? Why should the men be in charge first? It's like, oh, I'm sure it's arbitrary, but that always bothered me in Buddhism when I went to these Buddhist temples. It was like the man, monk would walk in first, and then the woman one would walk in first. Like, everything was man first and then woman first. And they'd be like, it's, you know, like, this is... We care about both men and women. And I'm like, well, why don't you switch up the order then? Fuck. I don't know. That always kind of pissed me off a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about Buddhism.
Yeah, Jade was the quintessential girl next door in Crystal's season, and then she also turned out to be way more interesting when she, you know, but then Chris cut her because of her Playboy past, and it's clear from the very beginning that she is the one that everybody is interested in. But then she immediately hooks up with Tanner.
Yeah, pretty early on, yeah. She gives her first card. She's sort of interested in Jared, but Ashley I, the crazy virgin from Chris's season, was, like, so, like, crazy about Jared that, like, Jade was like, okay, all right, I'll ask Tanner out. So she went out with Tanner. They immediately had a connection, and now they're coupled up.
I like how easily you use the phrase, had a connection.
I had a connection.
I like Tanner. I like Tanner and Jade together. I'm totally supportive of it. Tanner is really unassuming. He never got any time with Caitlin. He was sort of humiliated because of it on Caitlin's season.
I thought it was interesting, like, again, this might have to do with my face blindness. I got some flack for my Am I Autistic segment, so I don't want to... Don't you remember Alice was like, I found your Am I Autistic segment offensive? You don't remember that?
Oh, I mean...
Yeah,
I, no. I didn't think she was serious, I guess.
Oh, no, she was totally serious. No, she was like, I looked it up on the internet and like... No, she was talking about a different thing from The Onion. Like, there's this character on The Onion who's like, is the train okay? Like, he's like a known, like, autistic commentator. And she was like, that's so funny. And but anyway, she said that it was offensive because it's like, I shouldn't, like, mock people with autism or, like, or I shouldn't use it as like, an excuse for my bad behavior to be like, oh, sorry, I was rude.
Oh, I do remember that.
But
I focused on something else where she was like, no, you're oblivious. I was like, I don't think Molly's oblivious.
But, well, I think that's a good argument for me being autistic.
We're getting deep into, like, friendship analysis right now. That was a really busy, hectic night, and I didn't catch... I took on different parts
of it. Well, what I was gonna say, let's get rid of the loaded autistic term, but, perhaps my social awkwardness, my inability to know what the fuck is going on too, in
because
it.
I totally get that. It's
face blindness is such
it is the way I feel when I walk around without contacts in. I can't read people's expressions. It's like everyone is just kind of a real, like, a balloon or a piece of dough for their face, and you can't tell what they think.
Alice and I had a roommate who was like, oh, I don't recognize people when I see them. I have face blindness. And we were like, you mean you're just a bitch? Like,
wait, was that... The one in...
Yeah.
Yeah. The one from Montana. That's amazing.
but what I was going to say is that, like, I find it interesting on these shows when, like, it seems to me that everyone is just hot. Like, they're all just, like, pretty much equal levels of hot with, like, some variation. But, like, you know, they're all really good looking. So, like, Jade was like... Tanner's hot, and I'm just like, well, I mean, yeah, they're all hot, like, but, like, to me, Tanner is, like, one of the more ordinary ones, and Jade is, like, pretty hot, because she was in Playboy, so I was a little, I was just, like,
I feel like Tanner and Jade are pretty comparably attractive, but I don't know.
But then again, I feel like they all are, yeah. Like, they could all be
matched
together.
Except for, like, Mikey T and Joe Fishmonster, in my mind, are in different camps, like...
Well, Mikey T is, like, very muscly, so if you don't like that, then you would be like, ew, gorilla boy in a suit.
That's where, like, I really see my, you know, like, I still feel, like, I think that that is, I came out really early, and I don't feel like I was ever really indoctrinated into the straight world, and so there is a divorce in my mind between being, like, acculturated to think that muscles are hot that way, you know, where I just look at my tee and I'm like, oh, my God.
Like, so it's gross. Yeah, well,
I just found it so unsexual.
Honestly, though, there's a lot of women that feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but,
how do you feel?
I, like, my thought on muscles are complicated because what I actually like is big men. Like, I like men that are stocky. But I don't want it to be, like, if it's just based on muscles, then that's a cohort with, like, a personality that I don't like.
Right.
So maybe I like the bigness of them, but I want it to be, like, I want them to be, like, I want it to be, like, they're fat and they've been, like, throwing boulders. Like, that's what I feel. Like, I don't want them to be just fat, like, just, like, I'm fat, like, but I want them to be, like, stocky, but, like, I want them to be able to, like, throw me over my their shoulder and, like,
brr, 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 brr. But, like, about it naturally as opposed to, like,
if it, like, looks like they crafted their body in a gym, then I'm just like, you have different values.
Yeah, I guess that's fair enough. Maybe it's just a value thing where I, even with Mikey T, it's like, you can feel these people being like, yeah, bro, like, they've got, like, one of those giant jugs of protein powder under one arm and, like, steroids under another, and it's just a world that I don't care for.
It's too much. But, so, yeah, Jaden, Tanner, what are some of the other... Let's just go through some of the couples that are just, like, established, because that's just the way it's going to be for a while, probably, because early on, it's a good strategy. It's boring for the show, but it's a good strategy to, like, make a real, genuine connection with someone pretty early on, and then you're safe for the duration of the show.
Well, yeah, and then it's so much more exciting later if they...
And then they do get mixed up sometimes.
Do you think who do you think won't last? Well, let's go back. Let's go through.
Yeah. So, Dan and Ashley S. So, Ashley S. is, like, being her adorable, like, whimsical self, but it really isn't acting that crazy. And then Dan is from Desiree's season, who I don't really remember that well, but, like, I guess he's just kooky, too. Like, they just seem like, they like each other.
Yeah. And they go to, I mean, they sort of get together because Ashley S., it seems like there's maybe a drinking dehydration episode at the end of the first night, and she goes to the hospital and ends up getting an IV, but, like, they end episode A with her going, and then in episode B, she's just back, and she's like, it was so cute, we put in IVs together, and they don't ever really acknowledge what happened, but he chased after her, and...
Yeah, they haven't even been on a date yet, they're just, like, they just like each other, they're just hanging out. Kirk and Carly are the same. Carly is the, she was,
She's the lounge... The cruise ship singer.
Yeah, she was stirring up trouble on Chris Farmer's season. She rallied against Britt. I like her. I think she's funny.
I like her too. I think she's a gossip, and I think she's petty, but yeah. I like that about her.
I think she's much needed on the show. To me, she's that in a way that is, like, a little bit more reserved and, like, calculated and useful than the way that Ashley is, which is just, like, a loose cannon of fucking crazy and crying and, like... But Ashley, I know you really like Ashley I. And I do, too, sort of, but, like...
I don't,
like,
know that I do anymore.
Like, she's, like, nuts. Like, she's, like, a spoiled, like, entitled
brat. Yeah, it's become... Like, it's become too much. And her desire to get what she wants without, like... you know, she's just over the top.
She loses her mind every time she doesn't get what she wants, and she manifests a life where she's often disappointed because, like, because that's, like, how she sees the world. Yeah. But anyway, oh, and should we get to the fact that, so Ashley I, we were just talking about, turns out her sister just is on the show as well.
Yeah. So I've been looking up these Chris Harrison's blogs on Yahoo, which is sort of like...
That's cute.
Yeah, like, what if...
Back in the beginning of, I know, like, Bachelor, what if Eagle, he had, like, he's, like, signed Eagle the contract. If Eagle Eye
Cherry had a blog on AOL.com or something, like, that would be sort of the similar thing. You have to keep up
with it.
I know, so...
I was just thinking about Eagle Eye Cherry the other day.
Really?
Save tonight.
Fight the break of dawn, come tomorrow.
New podcast. Oh,
just us singing a cappella. What if we became an a cappella group? What would our name be? Don't say Rockapella, it's taken.
Okay, Molly and the Molly Sucks Band.
Wait,
not already in that band. Yeah, why do I get to be the front runner?
I know, it's like the Buddhist temple thing you're talking about. It's like, why don't I try being?
Oh okay. I know, I'm like, it's the Molly Lynch Minus podcast. Let it be known. It's like Beyonce, she's always in the middle in every fucking picture of Destiny's Child.
Right. Oh, man. No, or the Dixie Chicks thing. Or the other two, like, Dixie Chicks were the most accomplished musicians, but the one, like, that we all knew who the front runner was. Blonde? Yeah, so. Yeah, Chris Harrison's blog is, I don't know, it's just a little rudimentary. Let me read you this about the Ashley I and Lauren thing. Now, from the best example of love to the not-so-best example so far, I want to talk about Ashley I bringing her sister. One of the things I like most about Paradise is that there really aren't any rules. Anything can happen. Ashley I wanted to bring her sister, and her sister told us she was single and looking. Single and looking is like an amazing phrase. So we figured, why not give one more person an opportunity to find love in this very special way? Became pretty clear right away that Lauren didn't really know what she was getting herself into, and next week you'll get the full story on why things seem so hard for her. And let me tell you, it's a doozy. So I realize that there's no real reason to read this except that, like, it just reiterates, like, like, there are rules, and when they break the rules, they often, you know, like, with the Caitlyn Britt thing, they were like, let's gather around and talk about how change and progress are a trademark of The Bachelor. Like,
right.
And, I don't know, I just, it is...
How about this? What if, like, Nick and, like, his three, like... weird crypt keeper brothers wanted to come on, like, hey, can I bring my brothers? It's like, no. Like, it does help that, like, Lauren looks like Ashley.
Oh, my God. Like, I think they were Sean's. They were Sean's.
They were Sean's. Well, that doesn't work.
What if...
but, yeah.
Also, like, with this, like, what if we came on, like... Also, when they were doing After Paradise, there was a moment when I really thought, like, if this... like, this is attainable for us. If we keep with this, like, we could become voices of Bachelor Nation. And seeing After Paradise, like, what if you and I went up and we were like, no rules here. You let these two ladies on, like, you know?
They're letting chubby girls on now? What do you mean?
Yeah, like, just similarly. Yeah. Like, I enjoy it's watching. It's like your idea of
how, like, every fucking swinging dick, like, oh, you're like your old high school crush, or like,
yeah.
Like a bus driver, or like...
like, oh, the floodgates open, the doors open.
Yeah, people's sisters are coming in, like, hiding in the luggage, like in Jurassic Park 2.
Did that happen in the dinosaur? Was there a Jurassic Park 2?
And 3, and Jurassic World, it's a whole franchise. No, in Jurassic Park 2, Malcolm's, like, to his, like, mixed-race daughter, like, you can't come to the island with us, and she's like, okay, Dad, and then she, like, you know, like, jumps in as a stowaway, and then she's, like, just on the island, ready to get eaten by dinosaurs.
Is this about her race?
No, the fact that she's mixed race was not relevant at all. I don't know why I brought it up. I don't know why I brought it up. I'm sorry. I'm weird like that.
It's about really the face recognition thing, I think.
I just, yeah, I'm like, a black person. I don't know. I just feel like it's, I don't know, forget this, I'm sorry.
And returning to our content, we will, so Lauren and Ashley are there. Who else?
And the other thing about Lauren and Ashley is that, like, so they're not twins. Ashley is 27 and Lauren is 24. They look very much alike. Lauren has, like, darker hair. It's, like, a weird, like evil twin thing going on.
And I wonder, I haven't done any research, but do you think they live apart in their, like, world? Do you think they live with their parents? Like, what?
I think that they probably, like, both live in the same city, but, like, live apart and are, like, you know, pretty close sisters. But, but Lauren is not a virgin, made it clear.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about them is that they're a package deal where only if one of them gets the rose, then they both get to stay. Which would have probably played out in weird ways if not for the fact that Lauren left after episode 1B.
Yeah, I think she left at the end of that episode.
Megan, tell the people why Lauren left.
Oh, because she's a mistress?
Yeah, because she's, like, she's enamored with a man from home, and she was, like, The only person I care about is Josh, the welder from
Caitlin's she really wanted to be with yeah. Josh, the welder, which is, I am kind of glad that he is getting a little more,
he's getting a little more
attention, because yeah. he really, you
he's
know,
a sweet guy.
He is, he really shit his pants on Caitlin's episode, like Caitlin's season, because he tried to tell everybody that Nick was bad and that they'd all talked about it, and he just ran his mouth a little too much, and he and Lauren would not have done well together, I don't think.
Josh, the goddamn second he steps onto the beach, Ashley I pulls him aside and is like, no pressure or anything, but like, Lauren, my sister, is really, really into you, and it would be really great if you gave her, if you like asked her on a date. It would be really great. And Josh is just like, well, shucks, yeah. And
then, I want to get to know a lot of different girls here, but thank you.
And does not ask out Lauren.
Yeah, he asked out
Tenley.
And Tenley, that's the beginning of, we're getting all the episodes mixed around because there's so fucking much content.
Oh, okay. We need to back up.
No, I mean.
Well, do we?
Not really. We missed Marcus and Lacey's wedding.
Yeah, from last season,
which was, Lacey's like, yeah, I just don't think she's like very, she comes across as very, very ditzy.
So I've already like, confirmed
myself. I'm so glad that we can be married today, and hopefully one or two of you will also find love. You know?
They have like the most generic ceremony ever. Yeah. Amongst like people who are not really
people
their
who
friends
are
or
literally
family.
Putting all their t-shirts on over their bathing suits because they suddenly realize that it's not like the beach bar anymore, that there's actually something happening.
Yeah, it was like surprise wedding, like whatever you're wearing. Wear it to the surprise wedding. They're like, we didn't really know them that well, but alright, like yay, marriage.
No, but everyone like Ashley I remember her saying, we all just love Marcus and Lacey. Like, we have all just heard about how wonderful they are together. And like, they're legends. They are the elders of the town village of Bachelor in Paradise.
They're the classic couple in the Woody Allen movie Annie Hall, when Woody Allen goes up to a couple on the street and he's like, he goes up to an attractive couple and he's like, you guys seem like you have a good thing going here. Like, what? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, well, what's your secret? And he says, well, I just, like, have nothing going on in my head and have nothing interesting to say. And
she's like,
and I feel the exact same way. Or it's the opposite.
Yeah.
And then Woody Allen is like, oh, well, you've worked something out. Like, that's.
Yeah, it's definitely.
That's Lacey
like
and
that.
Marcus.
Yeah.
Like,
and everyone's like, they're just so perfect,
they're perfect
together.
They both like dinner and soup.
Lacey's like, I could talk or not talk for hours.
So that happens first. So let's get everything out of the way of the first episode before we get too far.
Yeah.
Claire arrives at the end. Claire is the one that talks to the raccoons. She's from Juan Pablo season. It's sort of like, it's like Game Changer. Claire's here. And I'm just like, all right.
I don't really understand the Game Changer though. Like, I get that she's a little bit dramatic. She has a bit of Ashley eye in her in terms of like, you know, she gets very upset pretty easily, but
mostly
she also doesn't see. I mean, she does. People don't seem to look at her very much as a contender either. They tend just to see her as.
Well, she's so fucking old.
Right.
32 or something.
Yeah.
Her,
Ashley
like,
I is out for Jared, and Claire and Jared go out together. And Ashley I's like, this always happens to me, cougars. Like, these old women just go. Like, it is as though the crypt keeper has come in and been like, I'll take you on a date, and then I'll eat the marrow from your bones.
Claire gets the date card, and it's like a coupon with a Cracker Barrel.
They're like,
her and Mikey go.
They're like, this date won't go. The poem is like, you won't go far on this date, but your love might. And then it's like, take this wheelchair down to the end of the pier. Like,
oh, what I do. Push me closer. She looks gorgeous. She looks as hot as the rest of them. She doesn't look
she's
like there's
our
an age,
age
difference.
Like, right. She's like, our she's age. Fine. And I can't even imagine, like, a world in which I look, like, I feel like she's both older and younger than me at the same time.
Right.
Like, I can't quite figure it out.
But we'll see how that comes into play later when she goes on a date with a younger man. But for now, so episode one ends with Claire showing up, whatever. And then, so the next night, Monday night, week one, Claire gets the date card, And, like, everyone else is coupled up, so she ends up, like, Mikey T, who's Desiree Susan, big muscly guy, sort of, like, just, like, is like, hey, you should ask me out, because everyone else is taken. Tantric yoga date.
He's so, like, it's super weird, because they splice in, like, Claire being like, eh, and then Mikey sort of being like, she downward dogged all over my face, you know? And I find him, I don't know, I'll find him repulsive, so it's hard to...
It's the classic thing that you've talked about, where, like, okay, so Mikey perceives the date as going awesome, and that Claire obviously likes him.
Yeah.
And he's just like, okay, so Claire says to him pretty unequivocally, like, you know, I'm here at Paradise, I'm keeping my options open, like, I want to, like, date other people and stuff. And Mikey hears, like, I am really into you.
Yeah.
I just want to take this slowly so that we can build a perfect relationship together.
Like, yeah, he actually, like, walks away from a conversation where she's like, I just want to keep my options open. He's like, that went so well.
Yeah.
She and I are just building this thing, you know?
And when it turns out that, like, Claire doesn't feel that way, he's so fucking put upon. Like, he has just been, like, something, like that he's been disgraced or, like, treated badly when she really was quite clear.
And, you know, the other guys have to, like, all the other people on the beach have to kind of fill him in.
Yeah, like, they're
he's
all
like, it's going so good. And they're like, we've heard her talking, like, it's not going so good.
Even after that, he's like, I'm really confident in my relationship with Claire. I just want to maybe talk to her and get some clarification.
And then she's like, yeah, no, I'm, like, not that interested in you. And he's like,
okay, I think that things with Claire and I are rock solid. I think we're good.
Like, it really takes a lot before Mikey. And then Mikey's just like, fuck you. Like, Mikey's, like, so mean to her.
He's so
mad.
It.
He acts like, he's like, fuck that bitch. Like, it's like, dude, this isn't the real world. You can't treat women how you would outside of TV, like...
You can't treat women the way you ordinarily do, Mikey T, right, you bang-up guy, like, what a wonderful man you are.
So the rose ceremony, and, oh, we didn't really talk about...
Jillian,
so you guys remember Jillian?
Jillian. I just want her to go date a nice woman, you know?
Yeah, she's like a bodybuilder, like, she's the one that always had the black bar over her ass on Chris Farmer's season.
And she had it on this one, too.
Yeah, they really
played
it up.
But she, I mean, like, legitimately, she does not, she talks about finding love, but when she leaves, her sadness is about, like, FOMO. Like, she's like, everybody's gonna have such a good time in Paradise and I have to go home.
She talks about love like it's a UFC title fight, and she's like, I came here to fucking dominate. I've been training all season, and I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm gonna
she
get that rose.
She got a boob job.
She got a boob job. She was so excited about it. It was, like, a feature of the show that she got a boob job. She's like, check out my boob job. No one cared. She really thought that JJ is on this season. JJ from... Caitlyn's
season. Villain's got a vill.
Villain's got a vill. And he, who did he end up giving his rose to? Not Jillian.
Tenley.
Yeah. But, so Jillian really thought that she was gonna get the rose from JJ, and she didn't. She went home and it was sad.
Yeah. Well, and she and JJ have that in common, I think, the overconfidence of, they have one interaction with someone, they're like, it's in the bag, you know?
Yeah, and you have to know that that's not the case.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed to see her go, because I would have liked to... I thought she would have been a good character to stick around, but...
I don't think she's, like, rich enough in complexity. And it makes me sad. Like, I want her to...
I feel bad for anybody who goes home first.
Like, yeah.
But... So, okay.
Oh, you like JJ, too. I think it's a funny thing.
Okay.
Like, you legitimately like JJ.
I like JJ... I like JJ because I really do, I perceive him as smarter than a lot of the other people. I think that he's I think he's eloquent, and I think that he, I see a sort of twinkle in his eye when he's talking to the camera of, like, look at this silly farce, and, like, I'm just gonna play it, like, the way that I'm gonna play it. Things don't always work out well for him, and, like, I don't know how much of his, like, romantic feelings are genuine or not, but, like, I don't know, there's just something about him I like, and I know that he's a villain, and I know that he's a douchebag, and I don't know why I like him. And when I tell Tim that I like JJ, it's almost like Tim's just like, I don't even know you. Because like, they're really, like, diametrically opposed. But, I don't know, there's something about him I like. I'd like to see him do well.
Hmm.
I don't know. Can't explain it. I feel the heart wants what it wants.
And you want Ben H and JJ.
I don't want to date JJ. I just want to continue watching him on reality TV.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? The people you like are not necessarily the people you would like and like across the board.
But okay, so at the end of the first week, rose ceremony, Jillian goes home, and then I think we're ready to move on to episode. So the next week, episode 2.
Yeah, and we watched some of that together, right? We watched part of it.
It was, of all the shows that we've watched, it was the first night of the second week, so Sunday night we watched together. I was on a pet sit with this gigantic old English bulldog. It's just like, brr, Pablo. Is
Oh, yeah, it was, big, cute dog. I couldn't remember his name. Yeah. He terrified me.
You called him Pedro at one point, which is understandable.
I've come to terms with the fact that, like, I am not anti-dog, but I'm not a dog person.
It was like, okay, so, I invited Megan over, and I was like, you're gonna love this dog. And I knew that this was just the kind of dog that Megan would be frightened of at first, because it's a big, bulking, like, overbite, like, overweight, huge bulldog that's like...
He's so like, big.
And, like, he really likes people, so he, like, storms people when they walk in.
Yeah,
so
and I have such a fear of sensory surprises. Like, it's a deep fear that I have of, like, static electricity or balloons popping or Pillsbury pop biscuits.
Do you hate, or, like, popping champagne?
I have learned to do that over time because I like champagne. But
what about like if somebody like points a rubber band at you? Like that's
it
like
makes me
want
to die. Like I would want to punch you in the face, and I don't punch people because that is again a sensory surprise, and I don't like to.
I run out of the room and then yell at them later.
Yeah.
So anyway, Pablo.
Wait for just a second though. Let's talk about the ultimate hell, which is when children or people rub balloons on their heads, thus giving you the double fear. Of the static electricity and the balloon
shock.
Popping.
Oh, and the popping.
The shock and the popping.
Whoa. Yeah, people are dicks.
Anyway, I like a dog if it's quiet and likes to cuddle, but anytime Pablo is good, but he scared me.
He's a good dog.
So we watched a little bit of it together, though. I was scattered. You were sick.
I was sick, yeah.
How's your sickness?
I'm all better.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So Josh, okay, so we started to talk about this. This episode begins with Josh showing up, us finding out that Lauren has a mistress at home, and that's why she's, like, she's distracted and not into being in paradise, which is fucking Mexico. They keep calling it paradise there in Mexico.
Yeah, no one has seemed to point out the fact that, the place that they had it last year, or, like, last season and this one are two different cities.
Oh, are they?
Both named paradise.
Yeah. No. So Josh asks out Tenley instead. So Tenley is somebody from a season, like, several back that neither of us have seen. She was talking briefly about how she works for Disney. Like, she's, like, you know, like, she plays, like, Disney princesses in the parks and stuff. So she's, like, an ABC affiliate, basically. Like, so
that was super weird, though. It put me in mind of how Disney is a thing that some people, like, some adults really still love. And I've never quite gotten
it. What's interesting about it is that, like, it employs a lot of people in the entertainment industry. There's so many musicians that are just, like, lame children's Disney musicians.
Really?
Like, they'll go on tour and, like, yeah, because I remember seeing an episode of Intervention where, like, this, like, fucking crackhead that couldn't get it together, he's, like, the sound, like, board dude for, like, a Disney, like, band, you know?
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah, like, I mean...
A Disney band? What is that?
Well, it's, like, okay, so, like, when kids like music, too. They go to, like, a lame-ass, like, outdoor concert at Disney. Like, somebody's got to, like, sing them lame music. Like, that.
Then
so
we've
the whole
got,
industry
like,
around
the kids
that.
I live with love, and I have grown to love as well, in Seattle, Casper Baby Pants, who is the guy who was the lead of Presidents of the United States of America, and now he runs an awesome, like, he does an awesome children's band. Yeah, his songs are great.
what's cute about that is that the only thing I really know about that band is that I remember seeing an interview with him where, like, it, so Presidents of the United States became, like, a pretty big band, and, like, they, like, quit after, like, a couple of years, and the reason was, he was like, I didn't like tour, I miss my family, and I didn't like touring away from them, like, it sucked, so I quit. Like, he just wanted
growing to be with growing up his, out here, they were big, they're from here.
Yeah, so. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. But yeah, no, he just wanted to be with his kids, didn't want to tour, so...
That's Casper a cute... Baby Pants, check it out.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I'm going to put that music on my iPod. Some good old-fashioned fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
Stompy the Bear is a good one.
But Tenley is proving to be a sought-after commodity. She's little, she's blonde, she's cute, she's innocent.
Well, and it's this case of like, everyone coupled up really quick, and now... Mm-hmm. You know, now in she is left over and people are like, whoa, we overlooked her. And now they're mobbing her.
Yeah. So Josh goes out with Tenley. They have a great time.
Yeah. She, like, genuinely likes Moonshine Josh. She genuinely
likes him. Yeah. Joe. Fishmaster Joe. I have to say, and I don't, we haven't talked about this beforehand, so let me get your honest reaction on the air. I think that Joe looks better on Bachelor in Paradise. It's like he did something with his facial hair.
Maybe.
I think he looks a little bit better.
I don't know. The ugliness of his personality really... This screenshot,
which I'll post this on the website because it's like... It's when he is like a villain, which we will discover when we talk about it. But like he's like, I want that rose.
He's like...
And then like he does like this furrow brow thing where... He looks like he's, like, hovering over, like, the body of the prostitute he just murdered. Like, mm-hmm. He just looks bad. He's just, like...
Come get that robe.
So yeah. Something about his evil turn makes him no, more attractive. No, I would agree that,
like, he looks just... Like, maybe he just got his eyebrows tweezed or something, you know?
I think he cleaned up his shave. He cleaned up his shave and he got a haircut and, like, he only looks... So the unevolvedness of his face is only in certain angles. So sometimes he looks very handsome. Whereas before, he always looked a little, like...
A little Cro-Magnon-y.
Little moonshiny.
Yeah. But, nonetheless, he arrives, and he is a dick from the start. Like, he refuses to engage in this way that makes me furious, because I think it harkens to me back to, like, times when people are angry at you, or whatever, in relationships, and they just refuse to engage, like, super passive-aggressively. And it's like, you're not having a fight with anyone, dude. Like, you can't even excuse your poor behavior for that. Like, you're just being a dick. They're like, who do you want to take out? And he's like, oh, no.
Well, did it seem...
Wonder who wants to be taken out. I don't really care, you know?
At first, I thought it was an expression of him being like, fuck women after what happened to him with Caitlyn.
I didn't see any link between that. I felt like he was like, I'm here for someone who I think is going to come later, whoever that Samantha
Well, that became revealed, yeah. Like, yeah. He was like, yeah, he was in a bad mood when he first arrived because he wants this girl Samantha who's hasn't showed up yet but will. And so he was just like, moo, like, Samantha's not here, so he was being moody. But, like, he was being a dick to everybody, and it was, like, awkward and weird.
Like, such a dick. And just so unapologetically dickish that...
Like, he said to Claire, like, Claire was like, this is my second time here, and he said something like, that's unfortunate, or like, that's pathetic. Or it was her
third time on a Bachelor show, and he's like, well, I'm sorry, or something.
He said something like, you're pathetic, like, basically, and she, like, cried.
And, like, it's his second fucking time,
I know, right? Like, you're so much better.
Yeah. It's almost better to be on the third where you're like, yeah, I do this thing, as opposed to, like, giving it a second shot.
Let's
yeah.
not forget that he was given a date card to read, and he's reading it out loud, and, like, it was like he had, like, a third grade reading level. Like, he had to sound out the words. Like, he couldn't read it. Like, it took a while. They were, like, helping him. They're like, Mexico. He's like, oh. Like... It was really embarrassing and horrible.
Yeah. But then later they had this, you know, this moment where he was talking to the producers about Julia and he was like, she's not very smart, is she?
Right.
And it made me want to kill him.
Yeah, like,
what a fuck. I think Julia, so Julia was part of Chris's season. She seems to be a sweetheart all around in terms of how she's viewed on the show. Like, categorically, people are, you know, her backstory was that her ex-husband killed him, or her husband killed himself. And she is cast as... the real sweet one who just hasn't met the right guy yet.
And she has a kid, right?
Yeah, she has a kid.
She's just looking for love for real, like, yeah.
But, like, we're buying into it right now, you know? Yeah. It's the she's same thing, like, yeah, with Chris's season, it was very much, like, I'm so sad to let Julia go. I have such a great connection with her. She really deserves love, but she's got to go home. And they're doing the same thing, but I don't know, like, I feel like Julia is raising my flags a little bit because she does not seem to see at all that Joe is playing her, and it seems impossible not to see that.
I don't know, though, because I think that Joe, when they're on their dates together, so, like, Julia gives Joe the date card. Or, no, Joe gives Julia the date card, and it's really just like,
oh, okay,
yeah. Yeah, he gives it, yeah, he's like, so you, he's like, who wants to go? And she says, I do, and then a few minutes, you know, a few tries later, after she keeps saying that she does, he's like, okay, I guess you could take it.
Yeah. But then they have, like, a picture-perfect time. They, like, kiss under a waterfall and stuff. To me, I feel like Julia, like, it's reasonable that she's believing it because he's doing all the same, like, stupid romantic tropes that you would expect. Like, he's like, oh, I feel a connection with you. And, like, he kisses her. And, like, he says, like, I look forward to exploring this relationship. Like, she'd have to be smarter than, like, a Disney princess to see through it, you know? Like, she's just doing the best. She's just naive, you know? She's looking for love. So let's talk about, like, the crazy drama when Jonathan and Mikey try to confirm.
Oh, my gosh. Her. Well, let me lead in with the paragraph that Chris Harrison has to say about in his Yahoo blog. Things quickly took a turn, says Chris Harrison, and it's starting to become clear that Joe may have had a plan coming into this that no one knew about. First, we saw him say very different things in front of Julia and behind her back, and then we saw Joe go after Mikey and Jonathan to a point where he made Jonathan cry. Let me tell you, at this point, feels like Joe is turning into one of the most deceptive players to hit the beach on Paradise.
In two seasons, he has been. That's true, though.
So, and then next week, things are going to get complicated when Samantha arrives.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like, this. So Jonathan and Mikey both do almost, like, the kind of thing that happened.
Jonathan, if you remember, he was on Caitlyn's season. He was from Detroit. He was the auto spokesman.
Yeah, he seems very kind, very wonderful.
He seems like a really sweet, good guy. Yeah.
And, you know, even Mikey in this, like, I feel like went in pure of heart to warn Tenley and, or to warn Julia. And Joe, like, I will give Joe the credit. He was so fucking manipulative.
Yeah,
like,
he was real smooth.
Yeah, he, like, by the end, Jonathan is crying and being like, I'm so sorry, man. Like, I got caught up in this game. Like, I got caught up in the weirdness of it. And
it was actually a really, like, heartfelt moment of, like, a man that was, like, trying to do the right thing and was, like, owning up to what he perceived as, like, bad behavior. You know, he said, like, I was scared that I wasn't going to get a rose, and I acted out of that desperation, and now I recognize it, and I betrayed my friend, and I'm so sorry. Like, if that were really what the case was, like, it would be...
Didn't Joe make Jonathan or someone come back and, like, explain his behavior in the super condescending little kid way?
Yeah, Jonathan went up to Fishmonster Joe and was like, hey, I'm ashamed of myself for saying this to Tenley. Like, I shouldn't have gotten involved.
To Julia, right?
Julia. Thank you, Julia. Like, I shouldn't have gotten involved. I'm sorry. And Joe was like, I appreciate you coming to me like a man, but now, like, could you...
Now we have to go
Really appreciate it if you would go tell Julia personally.
Yeah, it was super gross because it was definitely...
Because he had already won, you know?
Well, you know, Joe had already, and now he was throwing, like, he was adding to his ethos, like, adding to this credibility by, like, shaming this person, where it's like, now, because he was able to use that moment of Jonathan's weakness to bring him over there, like, it adds to that fact. And so then, of course, Julia gives Joe the fish monster, Joe the rose, and we're all back to where we started from.
And, okay, so, before we can conclude the rose ceremony, a thing happened. So Jared, as we know, like, Jared went out with Ashley I once, and Ashley I is super into Jared. But then Jared got a date card, and he gave it to Claire, sending Ashley into a fit of tears. They have a date, and they go bungee jumping, and it seems like they're getting along well, but then afterward, Jared sort of has a heart-to-heart with Claire, where he's just like, you're too old after all.
It was a little bit heartbreaking that way, because I think that for Claire, I feel like Claire kind of, like, got, you know, she let that sweep over her. She was like, our genitals are pressed together and I'm full of fear and you're taking care of me. And then something shifted for him where he wasn't as into it.
Yeah.
And so, he definitely pulled the same card of like, well, you're 8 years older than me. And that's a death sentence for the whole thing, right? Like, be like, yeah, actively acknowledge our age difference. And if I'm dating you and we're together, you are the older woman.
She doesn't need that anyway. But so at the rose ceremony, out of fear and desperation that Claire was no longer... Well, Claire has a rose, so it's the women's power, but Claire is, like, upset that she's not paired up with anybody. Like, because Ashley's going to give her rose to Jared now, and, like, she's just, like, she doesn't have a partner or whatever. So she, like, stops the rose ceremony to give, like, this sanctimonious speech of, like, I remember last year that everyone was here for love, and this year it seems like it's all about a lot of politicking, and, like, people aren't here for the right reasons. Like, they just want a rose, and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about
that. And everyone's just like, I remember Ashley S's face, like, has this face of, like, real concern and, like, empathy with her, like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, which I thought was really cute, because the rest of them were looking at her like, fuck you, bitch.
So angry. Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
And then, after her outburst, Jade is like, I'd like to say something.
Oh, yeah.
About Claire's outburst. Like, she's like, I'm here for love. A lot of other people are here for love, and I thought that was disrespectful. And then Chris Harrison is like, all right, ladies. We've heard Jade. From everyone.
Jade was so, she was very upset. But it all amounted to nothing. You know, it's like all these just tiny little voices in the dark.
That's not true because, Claire had that hissy fit and they're all like, oh, Claire just needs attention. And the episode ends with all the people that we know are already going to get a rose have a rose. And then it's like some people up for debate. And then Claire goes up to Chris Harrison and is like, I need to talk to you. And she's like, and then it's to be continued. And they're acting like she may leave without giving out a rose or something like that. And we don't know. But there's three men that are potentially going home. And it looks like it's going to be Jonathan, Mikey, and JJ, probably. I think. Based on what we've seen. Or Mike G. Anyway, like, people are going to leave and we don't know who they are yet. Because, Tenley, like, Joe's subterfuge worked and he got a rose from Tenley. And because, like, there was a three-way with Tenley, so Mike G and JJ were left out of that one. So it's up to Claire to save one of them. And she might just leave. Yeah, I know.
I really can't wait. I can't wait. Monday night, we should watch it.
Sunday night.
Oh, shit. It's so much content, you guys.
You're going to be out of town until Sunday, so...
Yeah, until Monday, but then we can watch Monday. We'll figure it out.
So moving forward, guys, we got a rough start. I went through some personal shit that I don't really need to talk about, but, like, we got delayed, and it's good. It's just going to be... This is just a tough season, because we got 3 to 4 hours of content. And then in a short period of time. So we can't, we're just not sure. I think we should just
check in every once in a while and see what's happening.
I think we'll just try to stick with the schedule of doing it once a week based on the two episodes that we've seen and see how well we do. I don't think anybody's going to... we really wanted to sort of revamp the show, but so much has happened. Like this summer, there's been a lot of shit going on. So it's not a good time for us to work really hard on this incarnation. I mean, they're not working hard on Bachelor Paradise. We don't need to be working hard.
I just like the phrase, it's not really a good time to work really hard.
It's not a good time.
No, but I agree. I think, you know, I wish they would announce when The Bachelor's going to start.
We have heard who the new Bachelor is going to be unofficially. Well, that was
kind of a spoiler, though, to be honest. Like, I mean,
I think it's a spoiler. It's enough of a spoiler that it's, like, it's a leak at this point.
Yeah.
It's Ben H., obviously.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a little dull to me. He's too nice.
You don't think that they might pull some, like, Ben H. versus shit, do you? That's possible.
I don't know. Who would it be? Like, who could contend to get... It could be the Ben. It could be Ben H. Ben Z. But I feel like Ben Z was a flash in the pan.
Yeah. Jared would have been the only viable candidate, and he's already on Bachelor in Paradise, and they wouldn't do that. I think that you're going to find Ben H. to be a good bachelor.
It's because you love Ben H.
I sure do. He reminds me of Sean, who was the blonde who just did and said it everything right. He was smart and, like, accomplished and rich and, like...
Wait, on The Bachelor?
On The Bachelor, yeah. He's the one that married Catherine. I've talked about them a lot.
Yeah, you talk about them a lot, and they live here, right?
No, that's Desiree. Okay. And, Catherine was from here, but they live in Texas now.
I'm going to bring it back up. I think we need to branch out to field trips where we go look for Desiree and Chris.
All right. Right? I was going to say put that on the list, but the first thing we need to do is, like, make some sort of list.
I know.
Put up a whiteboard somewhere.
I think we should open for letters. In case anyone wants to send us a letter, we can address questions on the air.
Oh, this reminds me of in sixth grade when I invited, like, a lot of people to my birthday party and no one came. I know.
Actually, the same thing happened to me in fifth grade, but...
Oh, God.
It was the worst. And then in sixth. And then in seventh.
We're popular enough now that we could ask people to write letters.
Well, that's kind of what I meant. I sort of had that plan in my mind. Right. So, maybe we'll do some letters. I will have a book review for you next time we meet of The Perfect Letter.
She's going to read it on her trip.
Yeah, I am, I'm committed. I'm here for the right reasons with that book. Chris Harrison has been pushing it, so I think it's time to add my voice to...
In the intro to the show, which is really hilarious, it's really hammy. They're like, they play that Almost Paradise song as we played. And when they introduce Chris Harrison, he's reading The Perfect Letter, and he looks up from it like, oh, I was just...
I'm actually really curious about the number of sales that they've had so far.
We should look into it.
Yeah. Might look it up.
You're gonna look it up right now.
Yeah.
All right, I think we've, so much content. I don't know if we mentioned the fact that Lauren, Ashley's sister, left immediately.
Yeah, because we glossed she didn't over get it. The date.
They had this shot of her, walking through the desert, or not the desert, she was walking across the beach with, like, a rolling, suitcase, like, dragging it behind her in the sand. It's like... Pick it up, bitch. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're dragging it through the sand.
It was so intense.
And then a shot of Ashley sobbing that her sister was leaving. Like, I haven't seen my sister in, like, 7 months. Like, if she left, like, a vacation early we were on, I don't think I'd cry. Like, kind of fucking ridiculous. But, so lots to look forward to in the future. I don't know. Do you have anything to plug?
Well, I'm sorry. I just totally got lost in the Amazon reviews for The Perfect Letter.
Oh, no. Do you want to read one?
I loved this book. It was fantastic. Couldn't put it down. It is the first time that I read a book in 4 days. I will give you guys my full and I spend a lot of time... If I get a little bit drunk, I spend a lot of time looking at book reviews and my own, like, the reviews for my book. The last one was, like, it was, like, a 1-star. It was like, this is a sad, sad book about sad, sad people.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, it didn't feel awesome.
Oh, I think you should not.
I spend a gross amount of time looking at stuff like this. Anyway, I'm gonna give the review on that. Otherwise, I don't know. Things are fine. It's the summer.
Summer, yay!
We've got a lot of changes afoot. We'll fill you in as time goes on. We are moving forward with this Dynamo podcast and anything else. I'm Megan Cruz. MeggieNicoleCruz@MeggieNicoleCruz.com.
MollyLitch.com, DogKidsFilm.com. I love you.
I love you. You were talking to our people, weren't you? I was talking to you.
I love you. Goodbye.